Okay, evening all. We will start the meeting at 6:01. The chair is currently overseas, and as the deputy chairperson, I will be presiding over this meeting, and I declare the meeting open at 6:01. Acknowledgement of country. We wish to acknowledge the traditional owners of land on which we meet today and pay our respects to elders past, present and future. Any visitors? No, I see none. Okay. Attendance apologies, and so Councillor Sutherland and Councillor Henderson have sent an apology for this evening. We welcome Councillor Johnson, who has still not here yet, but assume she will be deputising for Councillor Sutherland. Mr. C, are there any other apologies?
None.
Okay, so we have Councillor Congerton via Teams, Councillor Doug Jeans, Councillor Hilary McWilliam, Councillor Paul Plifka, Councillor, here we go, Georgia Johnson, Councillor Oskjefki, Councillor John Doerr, Councillor Charlie Zanino, and EMRC deputies. Do we have any deputies here?
No
deputies. All right. Apologies are Councillor Sutherland and Councillor Henderson. EMR officers are CEO Marcus Geisler, the Chief Financial Officer, Jer Liu, Brad Lacey, Chief Operational Officer, Wendy Harris, Chief Sustainable Officer, Teresa
Eckstein,
Executive Assistant to the CEO, and Lee Personal Assistant. EMRC apologies, Neil.
Don't have to go through it.
No. All right, we'll continue on. Disclosure of interests. Do we have any disclosure of interests?
None received.
Okay. Announcement by the chairperson or presiding member. There is something that I believe we do need to bring to all councillors' attention, which I believe was emailed out, was that on Wednesday, the 23rd of August, 2023, we received a congratulatory email from Carolyn Spencer, the Auditor General, recognising EMRC as one of the 2021-2022 inaugural best practice entries for timeliness and quality of financial reporting and controls. The achievement acknowledges the performance of Eastern Metropolitan Regional Council across a number of criteria, including the timely preparation of audits, high quality of financial and maintenance of a good financial management controls. She also included the EMRC status as a top 20 best practice entries in the report to WA State Parliament. So, with the evolving complexities of the legislative changes and reporting requirements, this is an excellent achievement for the EMRC team to have a solid systems and processes in place, as well as an audit, as well as being audit ready. So I congratulate all the team, the CEO, your team.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, for that. Annual returns. Just a notice on the annual returns, which are due to be received by the CEO no later than the 5 p.m. Monday the 28th. Councillors who have not already completed their return were reminded to complete them as a matter of priority, as the CCC has to be notified of any returns not received by that date. Response to previous questions taken on notice. There are none. Public question time. None. No question.
No questions.
No questions. Yep. Applications for leave of absence. I see none at this late stage in the electoral cycle. Petitions, deputations and presentations.
None.
Okay. Confirmations of the minutes of the previous meeting. Minutes of the ordinary council meeting of council held held on the 22nd of June 2023, that the minutes of the ordinary council meeting of council held on the 22nd of June, which have been distributed, be confirmed. May I please have a mover and a seconder for the minutes of the meeting held on the 22nd of June 2023. Yeah, Councillor Dorr, Councillor Zazzino. Yes, we need to vote on that. Is there anybody against? No? Passed unanimously. Item 10, questions by members of which due notice has been given. Any questions? No questions from councillors? I see none. 11, question times without notice. Are there any questions without notice? No, I see none. Item 12, announcement of confidential matters for which meeting may be closed to the public. So there are two items which will be dealt with later, which are the major trading undertaking sale of unprocessed FOGO material and the interim FOGO supply agreement. So they'll be attended to later. Business not dealt with from a previous meeting, there are none. Okay, so we now on to item 14, employee reports. Is 14.1 through to 14.9. Are there any of those items? Does anyone wish to withdraw any of those to be dealt with separately? Yes.
Thank you. Mine's for item 14.8 to ask some questions.
Okay, withdrawn. Yep. Any other items?
Yeah, I'd like to move an alternate motion on 14.4, please. I have a question on 14.6. I'd like to nominate for the conference on 14.7. And I've got some questions on the 14.2, sorry, and 14.2.5 and 14.9.
Okay, so that leaves item 14.1, if I'm correct, and item 14.5. We'll move those on block. So does anybody wish to...
And 14.3.
Oh, 14.1. Oh, I'll repeat that. 14.1, 14.3 and 14.5. Yeah, so 14.1, 14.3, 14.5. Does anybody wish to move them on block? Yep, okay, so moved. Councillor Zeno, seconded. Yep, Councillor Dorr. Is there anyone against? No, I'll take that as moved. Okay, so we'll start with item 14.2, financial reports for the period ending 30 June 2023. Are there any? What is the normal procedure? Do you want the item moved and then questions?
You can ask
the question. Okay, yeah, 14.2 questions.
Thank you. My item is just about the CapEx. I think it's 14.2.2. And I'm just wondering, we've spent around $7.7 million less in CapEx, and that's across every area. And I'm just wondering if we could have an update, please, on what that's happened in, what, you know, so plan to catch up on that expenditure.
Okay.
Through the chair, the majority of the delays was actually because of the capacity constraints that we have through the Department of Environment to do licensing. We can only put one license application or one license amendment through at any time for either site, Hazelmere or Red Hill. So we have to prioritize, and we prioritize the APCR processing. That's still in train, but we haven't ordered or built or spent any of the CapEx that was earmarked in last year's budget. So that's $2.7 million. The other one is the liquid waste project. So that has been pushed back again because of the license amendment required for that. Then there's some purchase and replacement. This was $2.4 million. The purchase and replacement of plant. There's delays in the supply chain. So they have been ordered, the plant, but they will come in this year. So we'll have that expenditure. And the other one is the construction of the Class 4 cell, Stage 3. Again, because of licensing delays, that will be pushed back this year. So that was the majority of the expenditure. There was an expense, but they were all carried over or carried forward to this current year.
So is there an expectation those projects will be completed in this current financial year?
Yes, that is correct.
Thank you for that.
The liquid waste project, I'm not sure whether we can get that license this year, but if we can, we will. And otherwise, that will be pushed back again to the following year.
Thank you.
Are there any further questions on item 14.2?
Everyone on 14.2.5, if I might, please. In the investment report, it says we have around 20% of our investments in fossil-free investments. So I'm just wondering why that number hasn't increased, or why that proportion hasn't increased.
Just in terms of our policy, the policy is structured such that we're maximizing our returns. So at every investment decision, we give the opportunity for different term deposits. And unfortunately, during those ones, it's always that the non-fossil fuel ones are unfortunately are not providing the maximum return. So per our policy, we will go with whatever's the highest that gives us the best return on our investments.
Thank you. Can I ask a follow-up question?
Yes.
I don't know. This might be a question without notice, but what's the would you be able to provide like an average or typical difference in return between those two classes of investments when you're making those investment decisions?
Unfortunately, through the chair, not present. I will have to investigate and come back to you on those ones.
That'd be appreciated. Thank you for the questions.
Okay, so 14.2, we just need a mover and a seconder.
I'll move, Mr. Chair.
Okay, Councillor Pongerton moved, seconded. Councillor Zazina, are there any against? I see none, that's carried. Okay, item 14.4, proposed new council policy. I believe there's a alternative motion. Do we have a copy of that alternative motion?
No.
Okay.
I don't know if that's been circulated. My alternative motion is basically the opposite. So I would like to propose, please, that we do adopt the election caretaker period as included in the report.
Okay. Do we have a – sorry, you're going to move that motion? Yes?
Yes, please.
Yeah. We have a mover, and do we have a seconder?
I'm happy to second to listen to the debate.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Councillor Ostrzewski. Okay, so would you like to speak to the motion?
Thank you, and thank you, Councillor Ostrzewski, for seconding that to allow me to just speak on this. This preparation, and thank you to the officers for preparing this and doing some investigation into other caretaker election policies that exist. This policy, obviously, as it says in the report, comes from a motion they put up previously when I was a councillor at EMRC, and that was in response to some decisions that had been made previously, which seemed to alter the course of the EMRC that were made during that this time that we are now approaching, coming up to election time. I think the intention of the caretaker period, as all local governments will have to have it, Bayswater has had a caretaker period for some years, but all local governments will be required in the next round of reforms to have a caretaker period themselves. And the intention is really, as it says in the report, to not commit or bind the future council or significantly change the direction of our strategic direction of the EMRC during this time. It's also to not have the perception that EMRC resources are benefiting candidates, probably a lesser concern at EMRC, but a real concern in local governments. I think the proposals put forward in the caretaker policy are modest, are responsible and measured. I do think the EMRC could continue to operate well within its delegations under this policy. And as it says in the policy, that that there would be processes if decisions had to be made. I'm sorry, councillors, that we are not indispensable. I think the sky won't fall in if we don't have a council meeting in September and October. And I think the EMRC, like all administrations and all local governments, would learn to adjust their planning and decision-making cycle to adapt to that. I think it's a responsible thing to do. For us here as a council, as a protection and for future councils, and also for our member councils, because in this time we're not as accountable to our councils, our member councils and communities as we otherwise would be. And I think for perceptions, you know, it can be really dangerous for us. So I think this is a great protection for us all to have a caretaker approved in this time. So I'd really encourage you to support this.
Thank you. And the seconder, would you like to speak to the motion?
Thank you. Can I ask a question first, please?
Yes.
Thank you. When I came onto EMRC November 2019, just prior to, 2021, my apologies, just prior to the new council, there was some workings happening where the EMRC was engaging with stakeholders, mayors, CEOs, et cetera, about the direction of the EMRC. Can you just remind me, please, what work was done prior to the new council? And I ask, I remember we had a strategic plan that came to us, I'm thinking it was after the when the new council came in. So I'm just trying to figure out whether the EMRC determined its new strategic direction before the council elections last time or after the council elections. My recollection is that the EMRC did significant work around the new strategic direction. So, yeah.
Okay. So, CEO?
The chair. Well, the majority of the work was done definitely before the change of council or before the election. I'm not sure about the date when the strategic review was approved. I think from memory that was approved before the new council came on board. Was it after?
Yeah, sorry, through the chair. The final strategic plan was actually approved by this council last year, but prior to that, obviously, there was work. There was also a lot of work done for the establishment agreement. Obviously, it's been 35 odd years that since the inception of that, with Kalamunda joining along the way. So there was a lot of work, a lot of things, and it's always going to be difficult at any point in time. It wasn't necessarily driven to be rushing for an election. It was more as a circumstance that we come to ourselves that what's the future direction with the transactions that's happening on board? What does it mean for the EMRC? So strategically, I think the team's been looking at it for more holistically rather than specifically driven by one particular event like an election.
Okay, thank you. I just want to, make a comment. When I was a new councillor in November, and I think it was November actually, because I remember I spoke quite strongly against the strategic plan. I do recall that now.
Are you speaking to the motion now?
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you. That's fine. Yes. Yeah, so I spoke very strongly against that strategic plan, for me, the strategic plan wasn't aligned to what I thought the EMRC perhaps should be doing. And I believe that there was a number of new councillors on the council at that point as well. And we were presented a strategic document that had been prepared way before. We had a change of council. I guess I'm trying to say I don't mind the idea of a caretaker period.
Okay, so is there any speakers for the motion?
I'm speaking against, Mr. Chair.
Against the motion, yes. Councillor Congerton.
Thank you. I totally disagree with the commentary.
Just a point before you start. Your video might need adjusting.
Oh, sorry. No, it's a case of I can hardly hear you, so I've actually turned off and I've got my phone closer to my ear, so you won't see me, but you can hear me.
Mr. Chairman, if you switch off your video, that might help you as well.
I think I did.
Yep. Okay. Continue. Thank you.
All right. Well, I've done that. All right. So can you hear me better now?
Yes, you're coming through loud and clear. Yep.
Okay. All right. So in my opposition, I do not treat the MRC in any way, shape or form to a normal standard local government authority that's dealing with whatever numbers of constituent ratepayers involved. The EMRC do not make decisions that relate to our ratepayers. The decisions are made that relate to our local government council. And I don't believe that any one member of the EMRC is going to be grandstanding anywhere debating any form of initiative to gather votes for the intention to enhance their position to gain a seat or to electioneering for a seat. We do have a number of issues that would happen if the EMRC went into the caretaker period mode, unless we did some delegated authority increases. So I can hear a lot of background noise here.
Okay, not from this. I'll just turn off the mic.
Thank you. So I'm in the position of not supporting it for that very reason, and it's not talking about whether we cancel a meeting in September or we cancel a meeting in October. What we're talking about here is normal governance of the EMRC. So I think it needs to be respected that this is not about electioneering. It's not about taking photos anywhere. It's not about creating a profile or imagery for a councillor on the EMRC. Now, I quite understand that local governments have a caretaker policy, and we do have a caretaker policy in Swan, but we have it for a specific reason. So no member of council can put forward a notice of motion to build a new park, to have seats in parks, to put up shade sails, to do all of those things that you would do in a local government authority to garnish votes. We do not have that at the EMRC. We are very strategically focused, and that focus talks about the initiatives of the EMRC that we put in place to move forward. So I just want it registered in case the video or the audio drops out. I want my case is I do not support this, and I'll be supporting the officer's recommendation moving forward. Thank you.
Okay, thank you for that. Is there anyone for the motion? Against the motion? Would you like to sum up, Councillor Johnson? I didn't see you.
Just to follow on from Mal's comments, I suppose if the EMRC were to adopt the alternate, then we'd essentially have two levels of protection. I mean, if the intention is to prevent councillors from acting contrary to what the Local Government Act requires of them in terms of not using their office to their advantage during an electoral period, that's already precluded at a local government level. I suppose to echo what Mal had said in that regard, the members of the EMRC are not elected. They're appointed by their peers on council. So it's quite a different process to that which the Local Government Act and the caretaker period would in general seek to guard against. In terms of a caretaker period, I mean, my understanding is that all that's required by that is that similar to what the city of Swan has, is that no significant decisions are made during that period. If there are ongoing projects, which we have quite a few of with the EMRC, there might need to be minor course adjustments along the way. So we're not embarking on an entirely new course. We're just there to provide the guidance, which is consistent with that which is already in train. So I would see the imposition of the caretaker and the non-occurrence of meetings during that time as being somewhat problematic, and I think it would cause more issues than the issues which it seeks to solve. And I say that those issues are already adequately addressed at a local government level, and we don't need a duplication of those protections.
Okay. Is there anyone for or against? No. Yes. Against? For?
Against.
Against?
No. Quickly, I endorse both the comments of Councillor Congerton and also Councillor Pulwoski. As the EMRC, we don't have ratepayers to, you know, we're not there to be elected. We're elected by our councils. And I think that it's important that the EMRC carries on the business that it undertakes. And if a meeting is required in September, October, it should be held because the business can't be held off. So I don't see what the problem is because, you know, we're not a council that has to answer to ratepayers. We're a council made up of members which are elected by our individual local governments. Therefore, we can't get out and try to take advantage, even if you're up for election. So therefore, I don't think that it applies, and I don't support the recommendation.
Okay, so at the moment, is there any other for or against councillors wishing to speak? I see none. Would you like to sum up, Councillor Johnson?
I would, thank you. If I could check, Councillor, is it? I've heard various pronunciations of your name. Palivka. Thank you, Councillor Palivka. I completely agree with everything you said, which is the business of the EMRC should continue during the election caretaker period, and that's exactly what the policy says. So if any councillor needs a moment to refresh what this actually says in the recommended policy, I encourage you to have a quick look because it does actually say the business will continue and we won't be making major decisions, I think they're described as, that would change the strategic direction of the EMRC. I think that's the recommendation. And I will repeat in case you didn't hear me the first time, I'm not suggesting that people use the EMRC positions, would ever use the EMRC positions for electoral advantage. Basically, it's not sexy enough, really. And I do think this, unfortunately, sorry, and I do think this is a really modest, responsible and measured policy, and I really wouldn't, I don't, it won't hurt the EMRC and it would actually protect our reputations. I really encourage you to support this. It's very modest.
Okay, thanks. Thank you, Councillor Johnson. So we'll put that to the vote. Those for the alternative motion? Councillor Johnson, Councillor Olszewski. Those against? Councillor William, Councillor Plifka, Councillor James, Councillor Zeno, Councillor Dorr. That's lost. Oh, sorry, Councillor Congerton, sorry. That's lost 6. Sorry, 2-6.
Move the recommendation.
As that's lost, yes, we've got some a mover and a, is there a seconder? Yep. Nope, don't. Yeah.
Sorry, point of order.
I'm just getting clarification at the moment. Look, I think we should be going through the process. So we're with. Oh, sorry. Have you?
Sorry. I just want to make sure that we're following the process properly here. We had an alternate motion put. The motion was lost. No one foreshadowed anything else. No one foreshadowed the officer's recommendation. So isn't that item just?
Sorry. Point of order, Mr.
So just some clarity on the process.
Look, I'll just get clarity on that one. As you have raised a point of order, could you just clarify that?
My point of order is I raised it at the beginning of my debate.
Okay, I think I'll rule that in this case we need to continue on with it with actually that particular item, as it is an item on the agenda, and we, because the original alternative motion lost, this is now the motion, and we need a mover and a seconder for this motion. And we've already had a mover, Councillor Congerton, seconded, Councillor Zeno. Do you wish to speak to the motion?
Put it to the vote, please, Mr.
Okay, we'll put it to the vote. Those against the motion as it stands. There's one against. Councillor Johnson. I see, so that's 7-4. Sorry. Oh, sorry. Yeah, okay, sorry. You want to speak? Would you like to speak against the motion?
No, sorry. I just want some clarity on where we're at in the decision making, please. I respect your decision to continue moving forward on the item, and I respect that Councillor Congleton has moved the item. Can I just be reminded, please, who seconded the item? Okay, thank you. My apologies. I didn't believe we had a seconder, sorry. So I was confused why we were going to a vote. Thank you. My apologies.
Okay, so there is someone against the motion. So, Councillor Congleton, you don't wish to talk to the motion?
No, I reserve my right.
Yep. So those who wish to speak against the item, I see none. Okay. We'll put that to the vote. Those for the motion, Councillor Congleton, Dorr, Zeno, Jeans, Plithka, McWilliams and Ostchewski, and those against, Councillor Johnson. I see that motion moved 7-1. Thank you. Okay, so we move. Yes,
sorry, I have to leave the meeting to attend another meeting. So please extend my apologies for the balance of the meeting. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so we're now on to item 14.6, I believe. Is that correct? Correct. 14.6. Okay, so 14.6, Disability Access and Inclusion Plan 2023 to 2028. Are there any questions before we put the item?
Yeah, I have a question, please.
Yes.
Thank you for that. And just wondering what consultation happened in preparation. Oh, so this is our Disability Access and Inclusion Plan. So I'm just wondering what consultation happened into the development of this plan and if people with disabilities were consulted.
Through the chair, this is basically for council to endorse the draft DAP. And that's actually now going out for a 42-day consultation period. So we're waiting for all that to come back. So all of those things, all of the above, seeking any comments like we did the last time.
Thank you. Can I ask a follow-up question,
yes,
please?
Yep.
Does that consultation involve advertising, or does it involve specifically working with people with disabilities?
Through the chair, is specifically for this endorsement, that is actually through a public notice. There will be three sources. At this stage, will be the West Australian, the Facebook, and on our website.
Okay, thank you. So could I ask a follow-up question, please? Okay, so just to clarify, so that's just advertising rather than specifically consultation. Can I ask if we have records of how many people with disabilities are employed by the EMRC? Sorry, as a percentage of the workplace?
Unfortunately, I don't have that at hand, but we can get that for you. Like.
No worries, thank you. I'm happy to move it as it is.
Okay, so we have a mover for item 14.6, Disability Access and Inclusion Plan 2023-2028. Do we have a seconder? Yes, Councillor Zazina. Okay, so is there anyone against that officer's recommendation? I see none. That's carried. Thank you. Now on to 14.7, which really is about nominations to the WASE conference. So is it just up to individual? Yeah, sorry, CEO, could you just...
Through the chair, if just the councillors want to nominate, and then there's no limit on numbers. So we already had a request from Councillor Johnson.
Okay, I just have a question. It's a two-day event, and if you only want to go to one, should you nominate?
Yes, we can even split tickets. So if the councils can indicate what day they want to go, then we can have buy one ticket and we split it over 2 days or one-day tickets. So okay, we'll sort that out. If the councils can indicate what day, then we can organise accordingly.
Okay, one further question from me is deputies. Can they also be attend?
Yes.
Okay, so deputies from each individual council can also nominate, so I don't know whether that has been considered by So we'll possibly just go. Sorry, you've got a question?
Not a question. No, I'd just like to nominate.
Start the process. Yes,
thank you.
Okay, so nominate both days.
Oh, yes, thank you.
Okay, you'll record this. So any other? Councillor Johnson?
Both days.
Yes, please.
Both days?
Yeah.
Any?
Through the chair, the early bird, I think, when he finishes on Friday, isn't it?
Yes, that's correct.
Which is tomorrow. So if you can get
finishes
back to
tomorrow,
us by,
so we need to get the nominations in tomorrow.
If you can back us by noon tomorrow, then we can sort that out.
Okay. Day one, June. Yep. Day one. Yep. Count Congerton, have you got his?
We held in 2 days.
2 days, yeah. Okay. All right. So so the deadline on that would be what? Email by what time would you suggest?
Noon tomorrow.
By noon tomorrow. If anybody would like to attend, if they could just get back to the CEO.
Can you get names?
So we need to.
Yeah, get names. Where should we get names? So that.
Very true, the chair. Unfortunately, with the changes in the regulations, we do need so if you are express an interest in it, you still can decide not to go to and let us know tomorrow. But for today, we do need, if you have even 1% of chance wanting to go, please put your name up so that we can actually and get council endorsement for you to attend.
Yeah, okay. So that does clarify the situation? So the name can go in and you can then change your mind tomorrow if you decide by 12 o'clock that you don't want to attend. So,
yeah, well, can I move the motion then?
So no more names to be added to the list?
Runs it. Charlie.
Councillor Dorr, was there? No? Okay, so could you just.
Can I just have a short answer? And Councillor Congerton.
Yeah. Okay, so I haven't got the motion in front of me.
I've got the names.
So the names are essentially the first limb is the same. The second limb will be Councillors McWilliam, Councillor Johnson, Councillor Jeans, Councillor Congerton, and Councillor Zanino, and the Chief Executive Officer be authorised to attend the thing. And limb three, that's it.
Okay, thanks for that.
I'll move that, Mr. Chair.
Yeah, that's been moved by Councillor Dorr, seconded by Councillor
Johnson.
Yes, okay. So is there anyone against? I see none. That's carried. Thank you.
Through the chair, could I just have some clarification, please? So when we lodge the nominations tomorrow, there's a series of questions that I need to respond to each person with. So there'll be some things like special dietary requirements, any medical conditions. Are you attending the cocktail function on the Wednesday evening? So I'll send out the list of requirements if everyone can get them back to me by lunchtime tomorrow.
Okay.
Thank you.
Very good. Thank you. Okay, so now we're on to item 14.8, request for tender RFT 2023-006, Leachay Pond Deepening and Class 4 Stage 2 Access Ramp Works, RHWMF. Whatever. Is there any questions on that item? Yes.
Yes, thank you. When I look at the final, just a question first, is this a confidential item or not?
No.
And so the pieces of paper that we've got here that say confidential on it, I can't speak about it.
That was as instructions from council. That's obviously a work product that we don't, that's commercially sensitive, but if you can speak in general, but we can go behind closed doors if required.
Can you explain for me, please, what the difference is between a tender process and a request for quote process?
If us, in just general terms, is a quotation is basically any one of us asking for quotes from anyone, specifically is directed, or it can be general, like through the Wauga panel, which is what we're proposing. So we invite various people to quote on them, or it can be open to the, basically the panel, any of the panelists to actually bid on it. But the tender is actually, the one that we've had was actually an open tender. So that's basically what we advertise, put it to the West Australian, put it on our website and all, everything. So there's a bit more higher, probably a higher level of discipline required for that. But unfortunately, in this instance, we did arrive at only two that were compliant in terms of the tender submissions. And we assessed it and we made the judgment, the evaluation panel made a judgment that it was not best value for money for the MRC. And the recommendation is to actually cancel the tender. And under the regulation, it allows us to go through the next step now. Now that it's done, to open, we can actually go to the panel. And in this case, we'll ask for specific quotes and get the various people to bid for it. Apologies, actually might not be a Wauga panel. It's actually just a straight RFQ in this case. So we can't be any one that we decide that we want to get a quotation from.
Can you just tell me a little bit about the tender limits?
The tender limits under the functions in general is 250,000. So that's a requirement where, but there are exceptions to it. There are situations like, for example, through another local government body or through a state government. Then the other one is a Wauga panel as well. So there are exemptions. And then another exemption is the where it's deemed to be uniquely placed. No one else can provide that. And council has to make their instructions on that. In this case, it's not. We're not seeking that exemption. But this exemption is once you've done a tender, it allows you to actually proceed to the next phase to go to a request for quote.
So just going back to my previous question then, where we were talking about the request for quote, you're saying that anyone can apply. From what I've just heard, what you just said then, it doesn't sound like anyone can apply. You have to go to Wauga panel, et cetera, because of those tender limits?
No, in this under the regulation, the exemptions allows you to do. You can actually go to anyone because you already specifically done your bid on the open tender. We didn't get the outcome that we were looking for. You're going to next phase. And this is actually probably the second time we've done this now. And unfortunately, we are placed in a position that we do want a contract in place ready for the summer months.
Thank you.
Are there any further questions? Yes, questions. So this exemption process, I suppose in the ordinary course, the ordinary method would be appropriate where you're, I suppose, a local government or the sort which is consuming relatively standard products and there's a lot of service providers. Whereas this exemption, I think you mentioned that where there's more specialist providers or it's only a very niche market that you're more likely to have resort to this exemption. Is that sort of the space that we're operating in, where it's quite a niche field?
I suppose due to the complexities and to the size of it, obviously there will be less, and it's not something that we can get off the shelf. It's quite going to be tailored to our specifications, yes. So to answer that.
Thank you.
And sorry, through the chair, if I may add to the we've got the two larger leachate control ponds in place. The one we're going to have to take offline, we've got to do it over the summer period so that we've got strict time constraints in place. So if we don't achieve it on time and not finish before wet season, then we've got issues. So it's very important that we do get the individuals in place that are very niche to be able to complete that.
Okay, any further questions? Yes, Councillor Johnson.
Thank you. Look, I completely understand that and appreciate the urge for value for money and the timelines around this, but one of the reasons we go to tender is about transparency. So I'm just wondering about what report back we'd get on the outcome of the tender process. Oh, sorry, the request for quote process, please.
Absolutely. Through the chair. So firstly, the open and transparent, we have already met that obligation with regards to the tender. However, in this situation, the value will be, again, more than the CEO's authority limited for the delegation to accept any quotes of that size. It will be coming back to council.
Thank you for clarifying.
Look, I do have a question also. What what is going to change with the process, with the method you're now going to go through to achieve what you're trying to achieve?
We noted that we only had two of the submissions that were only were compliant, and as a result, the evaluation panel said, you know, the value wasn't there for us, and we are very comfortable that if we go out to the quotation process, that we will get the outcome that we were seeking within the budget that the council has adopted previously.
Okay, all right. If there's no further questions, item 14.8, is there a mover? Yes, Councillor Williams. Is there a seconder? Councillor Zeno. Is anybody against? I see none. Yep, carried. Okay. Item 14.9. Items contained in the information bulletin, is that correct? Is that one pulled out?
Yep.
Sorry.
Councillor Johnson.
Thank you. If I just have a moment. I think my question on 14.9.3.1, I'm just going to check my numbering, sorry. I've got page 5 on the report. It's tonnage comparisons, 2022-2023 council tonnage comparisons. So my question really is, I've got a page 5 which has got some graphs of waste produced per segment against budget. So I'm just wondering, please, if it's correct that the City of Bayswater's waste, general waste and FOGO were less than budgeted, please. Is that a correct reading of that graph?
Yes, that's correct.
Thank you.
Okay.
Sorry, I've also got a question on 14.9.1, the council resolutions, please.
Sorry, what was that? Could you repeat that?
14.9.1, the council resolutions, please.
132 of 339.
Thank you. My page numbering is not so obvious. So one of the resolutions is about the procurement of fire suppression at the Hazelmere site. It says it's in progress, and I'm just wondering if we can get an update on that, given that I believe we had an invitation this morning to attend the opening.
So that's obviously has been completed now, because we've opened the facility and we've got all the safety mechanisms in place. Number do you have at the bottom?
No, there was no agency for us to complete it.
That's right. Two.
We haven't completed.
Wait, where is that? Oh, that's the fire hydrant pipe work. Sorry, I thought the fire. The system. No, so what we have is there's no urgency to actually replace these pipes. This is, if we remember the discussion about going from a 100 mil pipe to a 200 mil pipe. So the water is actually, we're getting enough water, but not at the right pressure. So we have an agreement with DFES in place. So if they have to come to site, they will send a bigger engine to pump more. But we're in the process to replace these pipes, and we have an allocated budget for that.
Thank you. Yes, I don't recall that conversation. Sorry, I might have missed it. So thank you for clarifying.
Okay, any further questions on item 14.9? Okay, I see none. Is there any mover and a seconder? Move Councillor Dorr, seconded Councillor Cezina. Is there anyone against? I see none. That item's moved. Okay, we go on to, where are we now? List of 14.1.
There's no reports.
That can't be right. Where are we up to?
15.
Reports committees.
Okay, reports of committee, nil. 16 reports of delegates. Item 16.1 is Municipal Waste Advisory Council minutes held 28th of June 2023. Would you like to give an update on that report, Councillor Johnson?
Thank you, Councillor Jeans. Yes, I'm happy to move this item, and I'll just make the comment that one of the items discussed in there is about soft plastics and a advocacy position that we're against collecting soft plastics for our recycling programs. There's been a couple of schemes bandied around, and they sound great. So I guess I just wanted to update member councils. Really, the rationale behind that is to keep soft plastics from contaminating our recycling scheme. It's really important. They're such a massive contaminant, and we need to reduce the use of it, not encourage their recycling.
Okay, thank you. You've moved the item?
No, it's not for noting.
Oh, that's just for noting, is it? Okay, all right. That one's just for noting. All right. Thank you for that. Item 17, members' motions of which previous notice has been given. There are none. 18, new business of an urgent nature. There is none. Item 19, confidential matters for which the meeting will be closed to the public. Does anybody wish to withdraw any confidential reports under section 19 for discussion or debate? Sorry, what was that? If not, a mover and a second to move on block and adopt the recommendation in the confidential reports. So we don't have to go behind closed doors. We can just move on block. Yes, I have a... Sorry? I'll just back up on that one.
My apologies. Can you just step back about 30 seconds and just remind me where we're up to, please?
Yes, okay. So what we're on is item 19. Confidential matters for which the meeting may be closed to the public. Okay. And the comment here I've got is, does anybody wish to withdraw any confidential items under section 19 for discussion or debate? So if you wish to debate or discuss any one of those two items, then we will have to go behind closed doors.
I don't wish to do any discussion or debate. Thank you.
Okay. So if we have a mover and a seconder, we can move the item on block. So we have a mover, Councillor Zeno, and a seconder. Sorry, it was originally, yes, Councillor McWilliam, seconder, Councillor Zeno. Is there anyone against? I see none. It's moved. So we move on that one. So 19.1, 19.2, 20. Okay, future meetings of council, of which I see the 28th of September, if required. Is that correct?
Yep.
Okay. And 21 is declaration of the meeting, the closure of the meeting at 6:54. There we go. Okay, thank you.